Well, hello and welcome to the Day One Follow-Up Show on WCBL and WCCK. So proud that you've joined us. And, you know, Easter was last week. My goodness. With all this rain that we just wished would stop, I was noticing that my roses, my little bitty rose bush was in full bloom. And I've seen azaleas blooming, and you can probably hear the birds in the background from the open windows here. You know, it's just such a change. And, you know, when I look at that, that's kind of the way our lives are when we find God. After the storm's over, we start to see the beauty and look at life in a brand new, renewed way, I think. Well, I'm your host, Lois Cunningham. And we are sponsored by the Third Place Ministries, which is the United Methodist Churches in Marshall County, bringing this program to you. And my co-host this morning is my dear friend, Penny Story. Penny, welcome back.
Thank you, Lois. It's always good to be back here with you all.
It's such a joy to get to reference the Bible and in the way that we've read it and so forth with each other, you know, it truly is a joy.
I would agree.
you don't have to be, what's the word that I'm looking for?
A scholar, maybe?
A scholar, yeah. or solemn when you do it, you know, yeah. With no feelings. No, because when Jesus was sent, it was about teaching us the right way to do things. And, you know, there's a lot of things that he said three times. I remember when I went to school, they'd say, practice that three different times and you'll get it three times. Or
third time's a charm.
Third time's a charm. Or when my daughter was growing up, you've said that three times now. I've heard it enough. But, you know, it does make sense. It comes straight from the Bible, you know, where Jesus mentions things three times, quite a bit.
Yeah, yep.
So we're going to get into that a little bit later. So how was everything for you now since it's been a couple weeks since you've been on?
It's been really good. We've celebrated Easter and just so thankful that you came to the house and celebrated with us.
Oh,
big lunch or family dinner is what we call it. And egg hunt for all the kids, and just had a really good day. The weather was about as perfect as it could be, you know, to be outside. And, but besides that, other than that, it's been pretty calm around the house.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to let our radio audience in on what you just said. Penny and her family, for the holidays, for the last several years, have invited me to join with them so I can celebrate with them, and not necessarily by myself. And it is so appreciated. So that's what she's referencing. And, you know, when you reach out to someone like that, reach out and touch in a smile or in a way like that, it means the world to someone. And don't you usually have things that you could throw away because everybody fixes? I can remember my great aunt, whenever we would have families together, we would invite her, you know, with my grandmother, of course, her sister and all. And she just seemed to enjoy that. And so, you know, take that into consideration. Share what you have. And it makes it a lot more fun to be together with people than to do it just as your own.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's important to not only be the recipient of that type of asking, but to also be one that asks and get to experience the joy of having others in the presence of their lives.
It makes a huge, huge difference. It could make a life-changing difference for some people, you know, and give them a feeling of worth. So, you know, kind of take that into consideration, and it goes right along with what Jesus and what God has put before us and tries to get us to follow. So I'm glad you mentioned that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you for, you know, y'all being so kind all the time.
You are most welcome. It truly is a joy, Lois. It really is.
Well, I know it is,
and
for me too. Yeah. Penny, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please?
Okay. All right. I sure would. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day, this 1 week after Easter. Lord, we've had a big Holy Week prior to Easter, and now we've had this week that we've been able to just settle and be in your presence and even more. And Lord, that we've got, thankfully, we have your word that we can study, that we can look at, that we have the ability to read ourselves and to understand, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, through your guidance. And so, Father, I pray that you would be with Lois and I today as we have been studying your scriptures and want to share it with others, just as you ask us to do. You want all believers to share your word with others. And so, Lord, we pray that you would bless us for that obedience, and Lord, that you would bless those who are listening for their interest in your word and what you have to say, how we can become more closer to you in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Penny. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as we get ready to do this scripture, we're picking up where Brother John Perdue and I left off last time. And we're going to be from John, and it'll still be the 20th chapter, but we're going to pick up with verses 19 and read through the rest of that chapter down to 31. So I think it's going to be real interesting, and we're sure hoping that you'll stay tuned, and we hope that you have a blessing from the scripture that we're going to share today, because it does still talk to us. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to the Day One Follow-Up Show on WCBL and WCCK. And Penny's story is going to read some of the scripture for us, and then we'll discuss it. And we're back in John 20, and we're going to start with verse 19. And, you know, just before this, and I'm always hoping that you'll look things up in your Bible, just before this, Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene, remember? And he told her to go back and tell the disciples because she wasn't really sure who he was. And so she did go back and tell them. And she said, "I have seen the Lord." And, you know, I can just hear those songs, you know. "He's alive, he's alive," you know. I mean, it just touches my soul so much to hear those songs that talk about the scripture. But Penny, do you mind starting with verse 19? And, you know, this part says he appears to his disciples, so Jesus will be talking in this.
All right. So starting in 19 of John chapter 20, this is from the NIV version. "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.' And with that, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.'"
That's pretty strong stuff, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, it makes you really think about that.
Well, just thinking about Jesus being, well, the apostles being in a room with the doors locked.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, someone appears in the room with them.
Hello.
Yeah. It makes you.
Especially when the door's locked, and, exactly. And they call that the upper room.
Right.
You know, and it's like, oh my goodness. I can't imagine.
Yeah, but thankfully Jesus starts out with the words, "Peace be with you." I think I still would have been scared out of my shoes.
Well, I would be, because you don't expect it, you know.
No.
And that's just almost like the deal when your son came in and surprised you, you know, he was away from in the military.
Yeah.
And showed up at a dinner you were at.
Yeah.
And you had no idea. And it's, you know, so it's not so unrealistic to think about things like that happening. Mm-hmm. And that can help us understand what these people must have felt.
Yeah. Yeah. But to be in a locked room, I just can't imagine.
No, because in a locked room is one thing, and even in an open thing, when he showed up, was just, you know.
It was quite a surprise.
Yeah.
I was not expecting him at all.
And you probably looked twice to see if it was him.
I did look twice, actually.
I'll bet.
I looked, whenever he tapped me on the shoulder, I turned my head and I looked up at him and I smiled, and then I turned my head back, you know, to the way it was pointed originally. And in just that split second, I thought, did I just see what I thought I saw? And flipped my head back around, and there he was.
Yeah.
It was exciting.
Absolutely.
And then I jumped up real quick. I gave him a hug, and I called him a turkey butt. For surprising me.
So, you know, reading that is really not so strange when we can pull it and look at it and, mm-hmm. you know, and describe it. But yeah, I mean, even if it was your son, you didn't expect him.
No.
You know, there's no way.
Yeah, it's like, how could he be here?
Well, I'm sure when they thought that, you know, It's like, peace be with you. I don't know if that was at that moment to keep him from fainting or what, but, yeah. You know, peace be with you. Wow. And then when he showed him his scars, mm-hmm. because the last time they saw him, he was real bloody.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, his scars would have been, I guess, healed.
He would have looked bloody.
He was healed at that point.
He was all cleaned up. And,
mm-hmm.
You know.
But still had the scars to
prove
who he was.
Yeah. And they were overjoyed. They'd seen the Lord.
And they immediately believed then. Did you notice that?
Yes, I did.
Yep, it says they were overjoyed when they saw the Lord.
It's kind of strange because he says it again, peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me, you know, mm-hmm. I'm going to send you. So he's alive, and he's looking at them, and he's told them twice to be still, peace is with you, or be with you. But then he starts already giving them instructions.
Right.
Yeah. To make sure they understand.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, you know, so it goes on to say, and with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. And I just, as we were talking, it made me think of how Jesus, what he did was, by dying on a cross, by being resurrected, he has the ability then, the Father has the ability to forgive us for our sins. And we would be in a boatload of trouble if that weren't the case.
Oh,
we would have no hope at all to ever step in his presence in heaven without his forgiveness.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so we're supposed to, you know, forgive each other. We're to forgive others, and we're to even ask forgiveness for, you know, our offenses against others. But you kind of wonder, you know, well, like when you're witnessing to someone and you're telling them about the forgiveness of Jesus, how would they ever know, number one, that they were sinning or what a sin is? And number two, how would they ever be forgiven if they didn't hear the word from us people? Gosh, Lois, it just really puts a heavy weight on us just thinking that we are to be going out into the world. We're to be witnessing to others so that their sins can be forgiven too.
Yes, because like it's been mentioned several times, if we don't share what God wanted us to share, how are people going to know?
Yeah.
And we complain, well, somebody needs to tell them something. Well, that somebody needs to be us.
Exactly. That's right. Yep.
We need to be setting that example. Mm-hmm. What kind of an example are we doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Well, with that, Penny and I are going to take a short break, but we hope that you'll stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Christ the Lord is
to the final session today of the Day One Follow-Up Show on WCBL and WCCK. Penny Story just talked with us about Jesus appearing to the disciples in the upper room with locked doors. But they were so excited when they found out that it was Jesus. So I'm going to pick up with verse 24, and let's find out. Now, Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, and I put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side, and stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Jesus did many miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book of John. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You know, I've heard music about that. Would you believe in me? What does it take for us to believe? What does he have to do? He's done all these miracles.
Yeah. Then for Thomas, it was to be able to see him and to put his hand, finger in Jesus' hand and his side. That's what it took for him.
Wow. What do we have to see to believe? What do we have to know to believe in God? What does he have to do for us to believe him?
Yeah, for some, it takes more than just reading the written word, the scriptures. For some, it takes more than hearing. For some, it takes miracles.
It really, really does. And I'm sure if people really wanted to think about it and aren't afraid to think about it, they'll find that God has been with them all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, for some, too, it's nature.
Oh, absolutely.
Just the, you know, seeing nature, witnessing what's out there, and even within our own bodies, and learning about that, and how there's got to be a creator. There has to be an intricate designer who designed all of our, you know, our bodies to work perfectly, nature to work perfectly. I hate to talk about it, but the food chain to work perfectly.
Yeah,
it needs to work in order for us to survive.
Yeah. So. Yeah. The circle, the chain of life.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then don't let the circle be unbroken. It's sort of like those necklaces that we can buy and the links come undone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that could be the people who don't believe and want to go their own way and
mm-hmm.
think all of us are a little off our rockers. But
kind of like, probably like Thomas thought his disciple friends were off their rockers.
I mean, he's like, okay, look, guys, you've taken this all out of perspective, and it's just you're wanting to believe this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you all are crazy. But you know, poor Thomas, he gets a bad rap. He really does. People call him Doubting Thomas. I've said it from time to time. I even said it earlier when we were just chit-chatting.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And because that's just what he's known by. But you know, I feel like if any of us were in his shoes, if we weren't with the other disciples on that first time that Jesus appeared inside of a room with a locked door with them, when they all believed in Jesus, that it was truly him. If we hadn't had that experience, we would probably, you know, be the same way as Thomas. We probably would just be like, you all are just crazy. I'm not going to believe it unless I can have that experience too.
Yeah. Now prove it to me.
Yeah.
You're going to have to prove it to me.
Yeah.
That's something else. We just really need to be careful, don't we?
Absolutely. But you know, Jesus knew what Thomas needed.
He did, didn't he?
And Thomas didn't even tell Jesus what he needed, but Jesus knew it. And so the first thing he did, according to what Scripture says, when Jesus appeared in the room that next week with Thomas in there, he told Thomas, without Thomas telling him, he told Thomas, put your finger in my hand and in my side. He knew exactly what Thomas needed to believe. That's what
he did. It wasn't asked. Yeah. He just knew.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, this is just so important. This is just kind of like we talk about the Father. And we spoke about this during the break. A father knows, is supposed to know, what a child thinks,
yeah,
and tries to explain it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And a teenager, you have to explain things quite a bit. Otherwise, they read something else in between the lines, yeah, right?
Right.
But it's just so important because these disciples, they went out and they told Thomas about what they saw. They didn't keep it to themselves. And we're supposed to go out and we're supposed to share,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what they did. They shared with Thomas. But you know, when Thomas did put his finger in Jesus's hand inside, he immediately believed who Jesus was.
Yeah. That's,
and he proclaimed that he was his Lord and God. I can't think right now without looking at it. The exact words that Scripture says that he said, but he did proclaim Jesus.
Yes,
as
he did. Yes,
God.
He did. It was, you know, right after he told him, you know, put your hands and see. I'm telling you, it's just so amazing.
It is. And Lois, what's with this peace be with you that Jesus said three times? What are your thoughts on that?
I think that he's trying to tell them it's okay. What I've told you is true. Be calm. You know, peace be with you. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
But again, he repeats it three times.
That's right, three times.
And like I said a moment ago, you know, when people wanted us to remember something, they would tell us, you know, three different times, or repeat it three times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or you've already told me that three times, like my granddaughters and my daughter said. Oh, yeah. But see, there's a significance to that.
There is. And I know that in you all's church, because I visited your church before, that you all do the practice of passing the peace. Which basically, if anyone doesn't know what that is, you'll get up from your seat, from the pew that you're sitting in or the chairs that you're sitting in, and we'll walk around the room and say, peace of Christ be with you. And sometimes the response is the same, or sometimes someone will say, and also with you. But that's a special time in the life of a church to be able to greet one another and to say the peace of Christ be with you.
It truly is. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, you know, may go to church and they sit in the church for the services and nobody says a word to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
That does happen.
Yes, it does. It happens quite a bit. And the people think, doesn't anybody even know I'm here? Mm-hmm. And that one means a whole difference.
It does.
Yeah. It does. So reach out and touch one another. Yeah. Give them a smile. Say hello. A wave. Mm-hmm. Won't hurt, even if you're singing in the choir.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's more important that we share God's love with one another. And with that, mm-hmm. I'm going to lead us in this word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for all your many blessings. Thank you, dear Lord, for this word that we can share with one another, where you guide us, dear Lord, and show us what's right and wrong. I pray, dear Lord, if there's anyone out there in our listening audience that feels that aloneness, that they will know that they are loved and there is people who would love to talk to them. Mm-hmm. And so it's just reaching out to one another. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
So, for WCBL and WCCK, for the Third Place Ministries that sponsor our program, especially for you, our listening audience, we pray that you'll have a wonderful time, and please try to share the word. And so Penny and I want to wish you a wonderful, wonderful week. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.